Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbaribrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, and you can have your cyber calls on this deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, there are concerns for Aboriginal community health as the Queensland government rolls out COVID-19 vaccination. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Sarah Baxter, author, but also she's a political candidate for the Informed Medical Options Party. She holds a Bachelor of Social Science and also a study of Anthropology and Environmental Science. And just talk about the vaccine rollout, where some of our mob are concerned and some are all for it and some thinking, no, I don't want no needle in my arm. So it's a really robust conversation. But on the line, we've got Sarah. Sarah, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. No, thank you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And look, to have you at the table, just to shed some light for those people who are against the vaccine. We talk about anti-vaxxers, people out there who are just anti all vaccines. But give us your professional thoughts and opinion on the vaccine, the rollout. And look, it's not compulsory as such, but there are some underlying currents there that sort of pushing people towards getting the vaccine, yes?
Yeah, that's definitely happening. It's already happening with other vaccines with no jab, no job, no jab, no pay, no jab, no play. And we are seeing a push for this one. And my concerns primarily, I'm not anti-vaccination, but I know that informed consent is crucial for any medical procedure. It's legally, we need to have informed consent. And unfortunately, what I can see happening with the COVID vaccines is that people aren't being fully informed. And especially with Aboriginal people, I've seen the correspondences that have been happening from the QAIHC and also from Queensland Health that people aren't being given all the information. And that primarily has to do with how the vaccine works. Yep. And also, there's been blatant lies around what the ingredients are of the AstraZeneca vaccine that's been rolled out into the remote community.
And when you say lies, as in where, as in media or the health organisation?
Health authorities. Yeah, so one of the bulletins that came out said that there are no ingredients of animal or human origin in the AstraZeneca vaccine, and that's actually a blatant lie. Because the vaccine is made from a genetically modified chimpanzee virus, so that's the animal origin, and then that genetically modified common cold virus is then cultured in a cell line made from an aborted fetus. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely human and animal ingredients in there, and so that information hasn't been given, and you cannot give informed consent if you don't have all the information.
Well, sure, and then you look at the so-called the importance of people out there who are animal lovers and vegetarians or whatever the case may be, and the love and respect for animals. If that's the case, if they haven't got all the ingredients, how can they make the right decision in regard to their spirit and their thoughts and their beliefs and what have you?
Exactly. There's big ethical concerns also because, I mean, these living cells have to be extracted as such. They have to have the animal and the human unborn fetus. They have to have them alive to be able to, you know, conduct those experiments. And, you know, animals and unborn babies were tortured and slaughtered in the thousands to create these vaccines. So, yeah, there's big concerns around that. I mean, it's up to every individual. If you're okay with that and you take the vaccine, then that's fine. I have no qualms with that.
Yeah, well, it's your body, isn't it, in regard to that,
exactly.
You know? So what you're saying is like we need all cards on the table. We need all the information, all the ingredients of the different vaccines that are out there. Does the vaccine work? You know what I mean?
Are we being used
as guinea pigs to make it happen? But they're rolling out across the globe all the different vaccines, but Are we going down a dark tunnel? Are we the guinea pigs? Is it working? Or is all the questions? We have First Nation people ringing here asking us, if I don't get the jab, then I'll lose my job. And they're concerned about that. And that's what you're talking about in regard to the information or sort of pushed into a corner, yep?
Yeah, well, that's what we're campaigning against. We're campaigning against the coercion. I think we're doing a really good job of that. But, you know, you've hit the nail on the head with, in terms of this is an experimental medical procedure. Both the Pfizer vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccines, well, the biological agents, the experimental biological agents, they've never been tested. And certainly there were no Aboriginal people included in either of those trials. So we have no information to say that these vaccines are safe for this particular genetic subset. Mm-hmm. And we have a history in Australia of Aboriginal people going through medical experiments. And this is one big medical experiment. We have to view it as such.
Sure, exactly. And in regards to when they're doing so-called vaccines, it's scientists, but are the doctors at the table with the scientists in regarding getting the best possible outcome of a vaccine? Is there cohesion? Is there work together at the table?
Well, unfortunately, my experience in the scientific field has shown me that science can be bought. Results can be bought, all right? We can have a bastardization of the scientific process at multiple points during the experimental phase. And it's really sad to say, but there are huge financial...
So you're talking about a global vaccine medicine here, which means money for an entrepreneur or business entity as such to make hell profit on is what you're talking about too.
Huge amounts of money. And I mean, these are people who are serving corporations. The pharmaceutical industrial complex has a monopoly over the media over the scientific field. We're seeing scientism and we're not having enough data to say that these are safe and effective. And certainly they're not pushing the herd immunity argument with this one. They're not saying that getting the vaccine is going to stop transmission or infection.
Well, it's coming up to 12, 13, 14 months since the disease, the COVID-19, the pandemic came to our table, so to speak, globally. And then I remember speaking on this program about 12 months ago. I said, gee, it's like a race for scientists and doctors out there, virologists, immunologists, to come up with the first vaccine. I'm talking billion-dollar contract. You know what I mean? I mean, like, yes, we are still looking for a vaccine to get rid of the virus as such, but is it a money-making machine? Is it an entity of first over the line, you know, makes the dollars? It's, I don't know, it's all up in the air in that sense. Our people, First Nation people, are calling, asking those sort of questions, and it's good to have your conversation, have both sides of the stories and have that yarn. So what's your recommendation we should do from here?
I think everybody just needs to have all the information and make their own decision about their own health.
Mm.
Okay? We're not looking at the collective versus the individual. That argument is off the table with this.
Okay, yes.
Mm. So every individual needs to know what's in it, the risks are out there. We're seeing people dying from these vaccines. Okay? That does.
Well, do you want to put monkey blood in my system?
Yep, that's
a simple
right.
question.
Yeah, we've also got 24 other countries who've actually stopped their AstraZeneca rollout.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that's not an individual, that's a country.
No.
24 of them.
Yeah, we can look overseas, and I mean, a lot of countries didn't even accept it in the first place, but the countries that have started the trials have stopped it. Blood clots are a big concern. There's a lot of health concerns about this vaccine, and to the point that they've actually stopped.
So with your conversation, with your information and your circle of professionals and what have you, who are you communicating with in regarding hierarchies, member of parliament, governments, doctors, immunologists, virologists? Who are you communicating to in regarding getting the right information?
Well, that's part of the problem. They're really shutting us out of the conversation.
Okay.
I mean, when we ran as political candidates, we didn't have a voice. Nobody wanted to talk to us. And we're trying to bring really legitimate concerns to the table.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm just accessing information that the Queensland government is sending out. I've been on the calls with Jeanette Young to hear what she has to say. And I'm not happy with the information that's being fed through to people.
Sure, exactly. But see, the bottom line is if they roll it all out and it becomes that the vaccine doesn't work, well, then we're back at the table. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then what happens to all the investments, time, money, and the so-called guinea pigs, human beings that have used the so-called vaccine and that didn't work, so we come back to a new vaccine? It's all up in air is what you're saying. We need all information.
Yeah, well, Jeanette already said the other day that we're going to be needing a third dose already. So that's already on the table. I mean, where's it going to stop?
Well, exactly. And then the problem was people having overdoses. We had that situation down south there where some of our elders got overdosed in regard to the vaccine. Mm. So, look, a very important conversation. Thank you for shedding some light on it regarding your aspect of the situation. To all our mob out there or to anybody, give us a call, have your thoughts, have your say. Want to hear your thoughts and very important to have a conversation. We need all ingredients at the table is what I'm picking up from you, Sarah.
Yeah, and we'll be meeting on the Esplanade this Saturday, the 20th, at midday.
Here in Cairns,
to have these conversations and more.
All right.
So we'd love to see you all down there.
Okay, that's here in Cairns. And do you have associates in other states and cities and territories?
Yeah, well, this is a global rally, actually, that's happening this Saturday. But, yeah, so through the Informed Medical Options Party, we have a global network. But we also have a local network called the Cairns Informed Citizens Network.
Okay.
Cairns Informed Citizens Network at protonmail.com. You can email us through there.
Yep. Otherwise, national program this is to other states and territories, Informed Medical Options Party is the party, Zara, to get the information or get their thoughts on the situation.
Let's keep asking these questions.
Ask the questions.
Conversations.
Yeah. Sarah, thank you very much. All the best to you. Have a great day. Keep smiling.
Thanks so much. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adelian there. Sarah Baxter, her name is. She's an author, but also has a Bachelor of Social Science and also with majors in Anthropology and Environmental Science and also part of the political candidate she is for Informed Medical Options Party. And just talking about the concerns for Aboriginal community health as the community government rolls out COVID-19 vaccination. And the question she's asking regarding the option, Informed Medical Option Party, is what ingredients are in the vaccine, and we need to have all cards on the table in regard to what is in the vaccine. And some are talking about animals and some are talking about babies. So look, there it is. We need that all the information for people to make the right decision on what they wish to put into their body. So there it is. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong, the world we live in at the moment, very cloudy, so to speak. But give us a call, have your say, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Where are my firstborn? Said the brown man sighing. They came out of my womb long time ago. They're formed of my dust, but why they're crying? And the light of their being barely aglow. I strain my ears for the sound of their laughter. Where are the laws and the legends I gave? Tell me what happened to you whom I bore after. Now only their spirits dwell in their cave. You are silent, you cringe from replying. You're lying. A question is there like a blow on your face. The answer is there when I look at the dying, at the death and neglect of my dark proud rays. The answer is there when I look at the dying, at the death and neglect of my dark proud rays. At the death and neglect of my dark proud rays. At the death and neglect of my dark proud
to have a yarn to me today, ladies. May I ask you to introduce yourselves? So I might start with you, Michaela, and just introduce yourself, your name, who's your mob, and what it is that you do at Marawa Law.
So my name is Michaela French, and I'm a proud Torres Strait Islander woman with family connections to Mabuyoga Island. And I'm currently working as a solicitor at Marawa Law. Been in this role for about a year now, and before I was a paralegal while I was doing my university studies.
And Leah?
So my name is Leah Cameron. I'm a Palawa Trawulaway woman from cold old Tassie, Lutruwita. My country is on the East Coast. I am the owner and principal solicitor of Marawa Law.
And Cassie?
So my name is Cassie Lang. I am a proud Minjibul woman from the Bundjalung Nation on Northern New South Wales, and I am a senior solicitor at Marawa Law and have been in this role for about 3 years now.
Wow. Thank you. So I've invited all of you here today to yarn to me about your particular skills and your unique organization. So thank you very much for joining me here on Bumma Bibra Media. May I just ask, when you were considering your careers, what made you decide, or when did you decide, you know, I'm going to be a lawyer, and starting with Michaela?
So I decided I wanted to be a lawyer after doing some work experience at the Cairns Magistrates Court. During my experience there, I saw a lot of the people going before the magistrate were of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander descent, who either didn't have a lawyer present or were being represented by non-Indigenous solicitors. And I guess I just saw the injustice in that, and I decided that I wanted to be, you know, a Torres Strait Islander lawyer and representing our people and making sure that we're getting the best outcomes for them.
Mm-hmm. And Leah?
It was interesting for me. I mean, even though I had, I suppose, a lot of interaction with the law, you know, police and that sort of thing, I didn't know what a lawyer was until quite late in my life. And I was very fortunate to, during my schooling, I needed extra tutoring. And the lady that sort of allocated to me, she was a lawyer. And so I sort of came to understand what it was all about. And I suppose the impact that lawyers could have in the community and the gap there was, you know, that was there for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people not having their own mob representing them. And so that sort of, I suppose, fired me up and went, this is something that I could actually be, and make a change in the world.
Awesome. And what about you, Cassie?
I wanted to be a lawyer since I was about 9.
That's amazing.
Well, my dad was had injured himself at work, and I just remember him getting such bad advice, which put us in a really difficult situation as a family after the advice. And just remember him not understanding fully what the lawyer was telling him. And from then, so then I read, my mum is a big reader, so she was reading lots of Patricia Cornwell. So then I started reading Patricia Cornwell, and then I flipped from wanting to be a lawyer to wanting to be the coroner. And I went and applied to do work placement, my experience at the coroner's office. And you actually aren't allowed to do work placement at the coroner's office, by the way, they don't let you do that. But during reading them, then I decided I wanted to become a prosecutor, because then you watch all those TV shows and the idea of a prosecutor sounded pretty cool, although I kept pronouncing it wrong and calling myself a prostitute. So I had to then often clarify, no, I meant like, you know, the lawyer, until I realized that I would have to work for the police and I would be actually, you know, against most of our community. So then I very quickly changed my mind and wanted to then become a corporate lawyer. Oh, actually, no, I was going to join the Air Force, fly fighter pilots, then joined because I liked the show JAG, so then I wanted to be a JAG officer after I retired from flying fighter jets, and then I would have been a lawyer in the Air Force, and of which I failed because I don't have great eyesight and I'm an asthmatic, so I was never going to be able to fly jets. So then I just decided to focus on becoming just a lawyer.
So a very keen interest in impacting the world around you from an early age then.
Yeah. Slightly naive, but yeah, I got there in the end.
It's, you know, I don't think anyone would question that to realise the positions that you're in now is a great deal of work. You know, were there any times that you doubted yourself along the way once you finally decided, guess which one you were going to become? You know, was there anything that made any of you doubt yourself?
I must admit, you know, studying law is really, really hard. Not only is it intellectually very difficult to, you know, get through it, but just the stamina as well to last the duration is a complete mental battle. And I suppose all of us will probably be the same, that we very much relied on the support of our family and friends to get through it. And in the end, it's an achievement for the whole family. And I think everyone's just relieved and goes, thank goodness we got through that. You know, and then I suppose as a baby lawyer, you go, not only did I just get through all that, but I'm going to be completely broke for the next 10 years paying back my uni bills. So, yeah, I think all of us probably had that, you know, real determination to do it. But, you know, it's not easy, that's for sure.
Yeah. And what about you, Michaela?
Yeah, same experience. Law school was definitely very hard. It comes with lots of challenges with exams and assignments. But even being away from home has its own challenges of missing family and missing your friends. So being away was quite hard. And I was questioning, like, whether I should stick with it and is it worth it? But having, as Leah said, a support network around you, so your family and everyone cheering you on and the Indigenous unit at your university makes it all the much easier.
Yeah. And Cassie?
Well, I actually didn't get the OP I needed to get into uni, so I had to do a justice degree first and build up my grade point average before I could then transfer over and change it to a double degree to do law. Yeah. I was told by my guidance counsellor that I probably wasn't smart enough to do law, so I should probably look for something a little bit easier. And I'm pretty stubborn, so when you tell me I can't do something, I will just say that to prove you otherwise. That doesn't always work in my favour. But I was like, no, I'm going to show you. This is something I'm going to do, and I will get there. If I have to go to TAFE and then do another degree, I will get there. So I got there. But definitely a lot of support from my, you know, network of friends I made at uni, many of which I still keep in contact with today, and we're still providing each other with that support. We actually call it like our little sisterhood that we had developed in uni, you know, and even the younger generation that now come up behind us, we go back and mentor and check in with them, and, you know, our little sisterhood is growing into a little bit of a family Brisbane legal unit from an Indigenous perspective. So it's really enjoyable. But I did have one moment where when I was working for another boss, and I had just done my performance review with him, and he had said to me, he had literally criticised this piece of work that I had done for him, totally forgetting the context in which I had done this. And told me, sat me down and said to me that perhaps while I was young enough, I should go back and consider doing another degree, because he didn't think I was cut out to be a lawyer. With the bestest of intentions, emotional intelligence wasn't his forte. That absolutely broke me. Like, I was gutted and devastated, because obviously having to wanted to be a lawyer of some form since you were nine, to be told by someone you very much respect and then high and is held in high regard in the industry to tell you that he thinks you should go back and consider a different degree while you're still young enough to do so, yeah, completely rocked me. Well, I think maybe a day, and then I was so pissed off with him and angry that I was like, I'm going to show you exactly what I can be when I'm a lawyer. And then I just didn't speak to him for a couple of weeks, but we're good now. We got over that and we're pretty good. That was probably the only moment where I really questioned myself.
Yeah. And when you did question yourself, did you, like, what did you fall back on? Was it your sisterhood, your family, or, like, what brought you back?
Yeah, both. You know, and them just reminding me why I was doing what I was doing, you know, why I wanted to be here, you know, why I wanted to be a lawyer, and, you know, and then other mentors that I had too, just saying, you know, that's just his perspective. And
got it.
Yeah, so them giving me that outside perspective as to maybe what was going on and maybe how he mishandled the situation totally, I suppose, boosted me back up and then just made me more determined than ever to prove him wrong.
Oh, wonderful. And you've done amazing things, which we'll go into. But
and I'm sure if you asked him, he probably wouldn't even remember the conversation.
Oh, no. That's not very good. Well, you're now working at Marwa Law for the last 3 years, and you're all a very solid team. And I'm really excited for the next sort of question, because, you know, you are 100% Aboriginal owned, 70% of your staff are Indigenous, and 70% of your staff are female staff.
And when I was looking online, it seemed like a lot of those staff are in the, not that it matters whether they're in the lawyer positions or whether they're in the administrative positions, but I was really excited by the fact that your lawyer positions were filled by predominantly females. So for you, for each of you, come given this long road that you've taken studiously to get where you are, and like you said, Leah, yeah, uni is not, yeah, you're very broke while you're at uni and then after. So given this long road, you know, what does it mean to each of you working at an Indigenous Aboriginal owned firm with a majority of Indigenous staff?
I suppose for me, what I really love about it is that we've created a workplace and a culture that reflects who we are. And it's a very safe place. It's a place that all our values are the same. We have the ability to shine and be ourselves without having to fit into someone else's mold and structure. And that's why we're really unique at what we do. You know, we're able to shine and, you know, those really hard things we've had to go through to get where we are today are actually skills that we have that a lot of other people don't. You know, it's not just going through our law degree, it's our life stories as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. That's what's really great, and we can, you know, let that shine. Whereas if we were somewhere else and we've all had those experiences, we've kind of had to suppress that a little bit, or we've haven't felt comfortable. So that's what I really love, and that we support each other in being able to do that.
Yeah. And what does it mean to you, Michaela?
So for me, working at Marawa Law, it's like the only law firm in like Australia or Queensland that has two amazing Aboriginal women. So I get to learn from them every day, and it's an incredible experience. It's so unique. I always feel really empowered to come to work. I'm able to work in an environment where I can share my Torres Strait Islander culture and not feel shame about it. And that it's, yeah, it makes me proud, makes my family proud. So yeah, no, I love it, absolutely.
That's beautiful. And what about you, Cassie?
I think having come from working in a national private practice firm to a private practice firm that is, you know, another boutique, it's one of those places, I think Kayla and Leah summed it up pretty well, that we're able to bring our whole selves to work. Mm-hmm. So we each are able to just show up and be our, you know, authentic selves, and we are accepted for that. No one cares that I have ridiculously coloured hair all of the time, or that I like to wear a ridiculous amount of colour and write in coloured pens. Like, that's just accepted because that's just who I am. So when you're allowed to be, you know, I think when you're allowed to be who you are, and you don't have to try and curb bits and pieces of it to fit into a mould that is acceptable, that's, I think, when you're able to perform at your best.
Thanks for that insight, for anybody listening to that. So that brings to a conclusion my questions. Is there anything that you'd like to add on that note?
I suppose for anyone who is listening who might, you know, have a dream of being a lawyer but is unsure of the pathway, or, you know, has finished school and is coming back to it later in life, is that it's, if there is something you want to do and you're passionate, there are so many avenues available through, whether it's through TAFE or university, that you can actually explore to get there. And it's, I suppose, it's more about perseverance than anything. So, like, if you are determined to do it, you will get there. It's just about finding the best way suits you and your lifestyle to get there.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Don't go before we say happy birthday to you. Don't leave before we celebrate this day with you.
let's enjoy each other's company for a while, and then we'll go our separate way. Let's now sing happy birthday to you. Let's now celebrate this day with you. Let's enjoy each other's company while we can, and then go our separate ways. We want to tell you how much we love you, and we'll miss your smiling face. Just remember how much we love you before we depart.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment we got, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bumba Bip Media. And for our school-based traineeship, we talk about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And it's about chewing on an apple and a banana rather than a Mars bar and a picnic. There you go. So it's about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And which are yarning, proudly sponsored, like I said, by Piconi, but also Edmonton Police. And we're going to catch up with the guys there, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and his bodyguard PLO, Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. Very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Fantastic. Great to see you. Good to see you, boys. Thank you very much. Our topic today, gentlemen, scams. Mobile phone scams. Look, there's plenty of scams out there. Don't worry about that. But the topic today is about mobile phones.
Yeah, and we all have a mobile phone pretty well.
Well, we do, don't we?
You know, yeah. They're a handy bit of kit. Mm-hmm. But we've got to remember it also provides an avenue for these scammers to come into our life and take money out of our bank accounts.
By any means necessary, eh? They're like vultures, aren't they? So whatever tool is out there, here it is, we're talking about phones, I'll jump on that. So... talk to me about some scams that are out there at the moment that you guys as police officers are aware of.
Yeah, so look, we'll start off with a ringtone scam.
Mm-hmm.
We all love a deadly ringtone, bit of music playing in our ears while our phone is ringing, or for the person that's contacting us.
Yes.
There are legitimate companies that do sell ringtones. There's no problem with accessing those companies, but it's also an avenue there for scammers to provide a ringtone that will charge you at a premium rate. So they can be scams where each time the phone rings, you've got to pay for that ringtone. They're very hard to get out of those contracts with those companies when you do sign up.
Because you sign up with them and it's not a one-off payment. Every time that phone rings, ching, 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 ching,
exactly.
In their bank account.
Exactly.
Whoa, I didn't know of that. Okay, ringtone scams, okay.
Yep, so, you know, and this is part of the scam is they just can make it very, very difficult for you to stop the ringtone or to opt out of the service. So they do their very best to keep you on board and receiving their service, and then they're charging you a premium amount for that service.
Okay, and that would be the same as what we've got here, missed call scams and text message scams. So same thing, isn't it?
It is. Like a miss. So a missed call scams, that's basically where they call your phone and let's say it'll ring once and then it hangs up. And then human curiosity takes over and you pick up your phone and you look there and you
miss
go,
call.
Geez, I don't know who that was.
Mm. Ring
Might
back.
Be someone important and I call them back. Now, the trick there for the scammer is to keep you on the line. So if you've called them back and you're having a conversation with these people, they might ask you questions.
They get details.
You're wondering where this conversation's going.
Yeah.
But the whole time you're paying for this very expensive phone call.
Okay.
And that money is going into the...
So they just extend that yarn.
Yeah, very crafty. Very, very crafty, yes.
Yeah, you're going to talk about your phone, but how do you reckon the Broncos went last week?
Yeah.
And then we're suddenly talking about fishing up at Cape York and then 4 hours later...
You don't know where it's going and where it's going is empty in your bank account.
There you go. Okay, and text messages are the same, are they?
Yeah, that's right. So our text message scam, it may be someone that you receive a text message. Could be something... Like, you know, are you good to go this Friday or something like that?
Yeah.
You look at the number and you don't know who that is.
And go, we're Friday. I'm on shift. What's you talking about? Who's this?
Yep. So, and that might be your reply. It might be just, you know, who's this, that's made contact.
Mm.
Look, sometimes you're paying up to $4 to send and receive those text messages from that scammer. So each time...
But that's only you, but there's 40,000 people out there that are the same person too.
Absolutely, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you know? $4 by 40,000.
Yep, and so that their trick there is just to keep you in that conversation. So,
yes.
So you will text back, they will reply. You text back, you'll reply, and look, if they get 10 text messages out of you, there's $40 from.
Yep, exactly.
Easy money.
Yep. All right, fantastic. Yeah, because unmarked calls, I don't answer them.
Yep, private calls.
Yeah, private calls. I don't answer them. Uh-huh. And then I'll get a text from my son. Dad, I'm trying to ring you. I can well, your thing's on private. That's why I don't answer it. Who are you? He's exactly. Sorry, Dad, pick me up, please. I'm ready.
Yeah, I want to talk about another tricky one too. These are trivia scams, SMS trivia
scams.
Okay, so that's just encouraging people to take part in a competition for a prize.
Okay.
All right, so...
By ringing you or texting you?
Yep, normally by text.
Yep.
It seems pretty simple and innocent that, you know, there's a great prize on offer if you can answer a certain number of questions correctly. They're making their money, again, like them text message scams, just by the messages going back and forwards.
Yeah.
You're paying an enormous amount of money for...
Because you're giving the so-called answer to the so-called question of a trivia.
Yep.
And then, they hook you up.
And so the first load of questions you'll receive are going to be quite easy questions.
Sure.
And that's where you get sucked in because you think this... You
know, I'm a winner. I'm deadly. I'm going to keep going here.
Five questions.
I get a prize at the end of it.
Exactly.
No, they're taking your prize.
Yep. And then the last couple of questions that you may need to answer to claim your prize can be very, very difficult or even impossible to answer correctly. Mm. And again, they've sucked you into the message cycle and made their money from you before you knew it.
Okay. So give us some... cautionary actions in regard to all this?
Yeah, look, probably the first one, with the ringtone scams, know what you're probably signing up to, okay?
Yep.
Now, we're all guilty of it, you know. Anyone that goes and even downloads an app these days, they'll always see the terms and conditions that come up on the screen. Very few of us will read it. It's full of legal jargon, very difficult to understand, and we want that ringtone or we want that app.
Mm.
So we just scroll right down and say accept.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. You know, look, a lot of the times with our bigger social media...
Well, who reads fine print?
Oh, yeah. Look, with our bigger social media giants, you know, their terms and conditions are fairly reasonable.
Yes.
And that's why people would sign up to, you know, some of those networks. But when we get down to things like that are selling ringtones, there can be some there that have terms and conditions in there that make it very difficult for you to
and 25 pages.
Exactly. So look, sometimes, you know, you should read.
Yes.
And I shouldn't say sometimes, I should say all the time. We should read the terms and conditions, you know. So.
Well, if not, you'd be scammed.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes it less easier for you to be scammed. So.
Sure.
Look, if you have signed up to some of these, you can text stop back to unwanted text messages to end the unwanted subscriptions. You may have to go back to the company policy and have a read on how to end that.
Or you can go back to the company that you're registered with to help them with their IT persons to get behind
the carriers.
To cancel that contact.
Yep. Yep.
Probably so, right?
Yeah. Well, look, you could... you'll be trying everything because
of course.
This is your hard-earned money that's disappearing before your eyes. So, look, just as a caution, never reply to a text message offering you a free ringtone or to a missed call number that you don't recognise. And like you're saying, you do that now with your own children, but that's not a bad thing.
Exactly. Good habit.
Skeptical about what's going on.
Mm.
Look, they're also asking that we don't ring numbers beginning with 1-9 unless you make yourself aware of the cost involved. So, look, I'm assuming anything that starts with 1-9 is going to be a premium rate phone call.
Yep.
So if that's the number that you're calling back, that's probably going to be a very costly phone call.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
To stay informed, we've got our Scam Watch website. That's an Australian government website.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure it's the Australian... Consumer Commission.
All the W's .scamwatch.gov.au.
Correct.
Yep.
And then we've also got cybergov.au.
Okay.
Same thing to report any scams. And they've a wealth of information.
Sure.
On scams.
So with something like this, as police officers, when there's a new scam that comes to the table, so to speak, you guys are educated on that in regard to be aware. What's out there?
We do. We receive intel reports when scams are going around. There is, and you can imagine we couldn't know all of the scams that are out there.
No, that's right.
But a simple thing, COVID hit. straight away people are their schemes on COVID. You know, we've got the old you know, the phone call to say you've got a warrant, you need to pay some money, or you need to buy iPhone. What do you call it?
Credit. Update credit.
You know, they're more common ones that we're all aware of. But
sure,
you know, you always should be skeptical, and before you part with your money, know exactly what you're going to get.
All right. And so, if there's any dramas going on, contact the police straight away.
Yeah.
Yep. And what numbers are we talking?
Yep.
Would it be a 000?
No, you wouldn't be calling 000. 000 is for if you're in
emergency.
Yes, it's an emergency.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, I'm getting fired up. Yeah.
Look, 131.
Don't scare me. I'll ring 000. Don't scare me.
131 444. That's our police link number.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, it's always good to just walk down to your local station if you've got the time, and just have a chat with the officers there, and you know, they can point you in the right direction. Also, be aware though, with scams, a lot of these people that are scamming you out of your money are not from Australia. They're not from this country.
Yeah.
The sad overseas and unfortunate part about it is it's very difficult to get that money back.
Yeah.
Exactly. If not impossible. And that's the sad reality of it. You know, some people, not gullible people either, some very intelligent people, you know, unfortunately fall victim to scams and can lose considerable amount of money.
Well, there it is. You've been warned. Thank you very much, Dillman. I'll text you boys later. All right. Good talking to you both. Thank you very much for coming in. Very important conversation. And we'll talk soon, gents?
Okay. Right, thank you.
To Deadly. All right, beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police. And that segment there, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsby and Edmonton. And give us here a box of fruit here at Bumbo Bipper Media. It's healthy living, healthy lifestyle is what we push. And the topic there, scams, mobile phone scams.